Luke 16. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into your word. We thank you so much for your word because your word is our bread from heaven. This is what we eat, Father, and this is what we live by. And I thank you so much for the privilege of living by the bread of your word, because the bread of your word is eternal. Father, it's eternal life. And Father, we want to take full advantage of what you've called us to be and to do and what you redeemed us from. And so this morning, may the people hear with their ears. May I speak with my lips and may both bring revelation to the ears of the hearer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Luke chapter 16. And let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The thing I want you to notice in this verse, even as negative as it is, he makes a statement. He says, "God knows your hearts." Now, with that thought in mind, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters. Hallelujah. Normally, I would have these written down, but to be honest with you, I got my message when I came in. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. 8:27. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, we read over there in Luke 16 that God knows the hearts of men. And then here we find a statement that he who searches the hearts, and who would that be? It would be the Father. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Did you know that every one of you, when you were called into the kingdom of God, were called into the kingdom of God for a purpose? And did you know that purpose is his purpose? It's his purpose for you. You know, now I want you to think about that. For his purpose, for you. How many of you realize that if a man has a good purpose in life and he asks you to be a part of it, how many of you know you would be happy to do that? Amen? Because it is for a good purpose. Now, with that thought in mind, let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 4, he makes a startling statement here. And let's go to verse 4, Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Now, the fullness of time had come. It was through Jesus. Through Jesus. And he said, "To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Actually, in the Greek, it doesn't put adoption as sons. That is a translator's term. Actually, it is that we might receive a placing of sonship, or being placed in him as a son. Well, and a woman as well. How many of you know that? Now watch this. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And this is not referring to the Holy Spirit. This is referring to the birthing, the new birth that you had received when you got born again. That's when the Holy Spirit came down on the inside of you, and then He circumcised your inner man from your outer man and gave you spiritual identity.
Right.
Now, when I first got born again, I didn't understand spiritual identity until I found a doctrine in Scripture that separated my outer man from my inner man. And so I knew then that I had an inner man as well as an outward man. And everyone has an inward man and an outward man. They might not know it. He might be one with his natural mind. But when he gets born again, the Word of God comes down and separates the identity from the inward man and the outward man. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I no longer have to go by according to that old life that I once lived. I can go according to the new life that I now live in Him. Praise God. And notice he says, and he says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a mouthful right there. There are many gods, but we know that there is only one true God. But many gods are in the minds of men, but there's only one true God. Hallelujah. But now, and I want you to notice this, but now, after you have known God, but now, after you have known God, look what the writer goes on and says, or rather, are known by God. Did you know that when you got born again, you are now known by God? Let's look at it from an earthly viewpoint. How many of you know that maybe you voted for our president, President Trump? Maybe you didn't, maybe you did. But I guess what? Even his rival, which was Hillary, even though Hillary and Trump are well known by us, guess what? You're not known by them. They don't know who you are. They know that your vote counts, but they don't know the name behind your vote. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm not advocating Republican or Democrat. I'm just using this as an illustration. Are you following me? There are great men in this world that will never know you. Never had even heard about you. But then again, maybe you'll run across somebody that would get to know you. But what the point I'm trying to make is that when you got born again, the God of the universe, the God of the universe got to know you. He knows your name personally. Now I want you to think about that. He knows you personally. Now when did He get to know you personally? Oh, not when you became fully grown. He knew about you when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Hallelujah. And what He did is He got out His ledger and He put your name in that book of life and said, now you have a purpose. You have a life. And I'm going to stick with you until you fill it. You ever think of it that way? Did you know that when I had children, one thing that I didn't have a general vocation for them, but I had a purpose for the life that I wanted them to do good. I wanted them to succeed. I wanted them to find their lot in life and fit into it like they're supposed to. I mean, all of us as parents, that's a good thing, right? Amen. And so I was looking for that in my children. But I found it difficult to communicate and put that in them at times. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be negative like that. I meant everything I told my children, they took it 100% and ran with it. Is that more positive? It seemed like every time I told my kids to do the right thing from the wrong thing, they picked the wrong thing every time. But eventually, they did pick up some right things. Praise God. Hallelujah. But in generally speaking, their natural life, I wanted them to have integrity in it. It doesn't mean that they walked in it, but that's what I planned for them. That, just like your Heavenly Father, He plans great things for you. Hallelujah. The only one that can mess it up is you. Not God. Matter of fact, when I first started going to church, I was told how God wants you out. Because you're such a rotten, dirty, creepy thing. Matter of fact, I was so sin conscious, I come in the door, sit down, and the pastor would open his mouth, and by the time he got through with the service, I went, "Amen, I'm the greatest sinner on planet Earth. Hallelujah, I don't deserve to even be here." And then he'd convince me to come to the altar and get saved again. And saved again. And saved again. And then the music would play, and next thing you open up these hymnals, and then, "Oh, be worth it all when we get to heaven. Everything will be worth it all. We'll get rid of this misery and this morally decaying world that's filthy." And I'm sitting there, oh my God. There wasn't an ounce of victory in anything that I was thinking until one day. Thank God I had mentors that God led me to that knew what light was from darkness. And man, when that light started coming in, I got excited. Hallelujah. And I sat down one day and I said, "Lord, You are so good. But I think back on how I mistreated You and everything." I said, "Man, how did You stick with me? How did You put up with me? How many times did You erase my name in that book and put it back in?" How short is Your eraser on me? And He told me something. It so blessed my heart. He said, "I want you to read about David." So I started reading about David. I tried to find everything I could about that guy. You know, he was a bloody guy. He was a killer. And the guys that he linked up with, they were just as bad as him. But he had a heart after God. He did things that you and I wouldn't think of doing. But he sure had a heart after God. I'll never forget the prophet go to him and talk to him about how this certain person was mistreated. And David said, "Get a hold of that guy and kill him." And the prophet said, "But you're the man." Boy, that must have done a number on David. But I kept looking up all of the background and the information of David. But David went after God with everything. And I said, "Lord, give it to me in a small capsule that I understand about David in relation to me." And he said, "Go to Psalms 139. So let's go to Psalms 139. I love this psalm because when I read it, I began to weep. Now we read out of three passages, gave you three witnesses that God searches our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. The problem is we might not know nothing about us. We might not know nothing about us. In Psalms 139, he says, O Lord, and this is a psalm of David. And he was, and people call this the perfect knowledge of God. Well, it is the perfect knowledge of God about you and about me. And notice what he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And the word searched me literally means to the nth degree. He knows everything about you. Everything. And known me. We've read that over in Romans. He searches our hearts because he knows what is the mind of our spirit. Now notice it. You know my sitting down. And my rising up. You know my downside as well as my upside. You understand my thoughts afar off. You even understand what I'm going to think before I do. Boy, he really knows your heart by then. Notice this. You comprehend my path and my lying down. In other words, you know the path that I should take even when I'm not taking it. You know it. Even when I'm not taking, he's using terminology that we probably wouldn't use today because we have a different society around us. But he's using terminology that fit in his day. And I notice this, and are acquainted with all my ways. Did you know something? When I caught this here, he says, my lying down, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know what? If I'm not taking the path that he has comprehended for me and I'm laying down, it's, in other words, my ways ain't going anywhere. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know everything I say. Now, I like this verse. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Oh, praise God. You know what? He talked about the positive side and the negative side. And then he goes and throws a verse in and it says, but Lord... But Lord, but Lord, but Lord, but Lord, you laid your hand upon me. You hedged me behind and before. You know what that means? He put a hedge about me. Why? Because I'm his son. I'm his son. He goes before me and he goes behind me. Now, I got to thinking about that. Why would he go before me and behind me? Because everywhere I go might not be approved by him. He has a way of knowing where you're going to go, but he will do something to see to it that he's there for you to see to it you get out of it even when you make your wrong decisions and the wrong steps. God wants you to know that this morning. Many of us have known to go the way that the Lord would want us to go, and every one of us didn't go that way. Can you imagine God up there saying, oh my gosh, I'm going before him, I'm going after him, I give him the path, he's laying down, he's not even taking it, and he's going about his way. Oh man, I'm fed up with this guy. Some of us feel that way. We can't do anything to please God. Hey, I'll tell you what. You can do something to please God. You can deliberately do something to please God. But even when you're not doing something to please him, he don't abandon you. You're on your own, baby. Some people think so negative. They can't even think positive. They just think negative. They seem to think that God will do everything for them. They seem to think that God will control their life. Some people think that God is a puppeteer and has strings on your life. And wherever he moves those strings, that's what you're doing. People, that is a lie. Sold out of the pit of hell. God gave you a free will. He created you with the freedom to choose. But along with His freedom for you to choose, God made a commitment to be with you once He's born you into His kingdom. You're His children. I don't abandon my kids when they get into need. I want to find out how to help them to meet that need, but also to be responsible for the responsibility. As parents, you are committed to your children. If you're not, then you've got the wrong spirit. Now, notice this. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. In other words, what in the world do you see in me? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? In other words, if God's committed to you, I got news for you. If He's committed to you, His spirit is committed to you. Or where can I flee? From your presence, God's presence is always with you. You might not feel it, you might not know it, but He has not abandoned His children. God does not abandon His children. Then He goes on to say, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. Wow. If I'm in His presence and I ascend into heaven. In other words, if I'm in that heavenly realm with you and walking in fellowship with, I'll find you there. Notice the next one. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? He's committed to you. He's committed to you. You might not be committed to Him. He's committed to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, you get that revelation, then you'll want to please Him. He says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If any of us can say that we've made our own bed. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. In other words, if I even try to escape from you. If I want to get away, just fly away. I find you're still there. I don't care what kind of airplane you got. As fast as it can go, God is there. And dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. In other words, try to escape somewhere and on planet Earth, you're there. Jerry Savelle got fed up with the pressures of ministry. I'll never forget his sermon. I never laughed so hard in my life. He said he was fed up with the kingdom of heaven. And he decided he needed vacation. And so he was going to put God out of his mind. He was going to take a vacation. And then the gist of his story is everywhere he went and everything that he looked at, God was there. He couldn't vacation from God. Well, right here, even there, your hand shall lead me. Even when you make mistakes and you want to get away and you want to hide and get someplace where nobody can find you, God's there still with His ability to lead you if you'll let Him. Isn't that good news? If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, what in the world is that all about? How many of you have ever been depressed? Darkness falls on your life. That's a horrible feeling. Notice this, even the light, the night, shall be light about me. He's going to be my light, and regardless of where I'm in the darkest place of my life, He's there to be my light. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to tell you something. When you're depressed and down, man, you've got the darkest days in your life. You need to think, as bad as it seems with me, God is around me to be my light. He has a hand to lead me if I want to reach out for it. What a commitment to God, your Father.
Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. No matter what kind of darkness I got into, it doesn't. Can you imagine God being at, oh my gosh, he went into a dark tunnel. Oh my gosh, how am I going to lead him now? Oh my gosh, where did he go? I'm going to tell you, I got this in my spirit. The commitment of my God to me, in spite of me. Because he puts a negative with a positive. Look at this. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines. Oh, man. But the night shines as the day. Now, come on. Every one of us have had our depressing days. And one thing we don't want somebody to do is, but God loves you. Yeah, right. We don't want to hear that. Why? We want a deep and dark and misery coming over me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. What is it about natural man that likes darkness? And yet he cries to get out. Somebody has sympathy for me. Why? You're enjoying your darkness. Oh, I like this. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You don't change. You remain light regardless of the darkness being there. Woo! Have you ever thought when you get into depression and get into that deep pit, that deep place? It doesn't confuse God. God will just harbor over your life and he'll begin to speak to you. I still have my hand to lead and guide you. Hallelujah. I have light that you might receive it so that you'll never stumble again. What is it about some Christians, if we preached a sermon how they lived, they'd think we were nuts. One thing you want to do to get God's grace to work on you, get addicted to drugs and heroin and everything. And boy, God's grace and love and mercy will be on you. What do I do? Shoot up to get his grace and love? And oh, what if I preach a sermon? Hey, one thing you want, you want light in your darkness, drink enough beer and you'll be out of your mind. Addictions is an escaping from reality. Why? Because you're not sober-minded. You're off in this world. And thank God, God's not off in your world. He keeps his sanity about him for your sake. Now, listen to this. He goes jumping from the positive and the negative to telling us something very interesting. For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. I'm going to tell you something. The platform that somebody stands on that allows for the death of babies, there's something sick about that in their mind. Every soul is important to God. Every soul. Now, I do understand there are cases where women have to abort the child because it might mean their life. I understand that. But to deliberately allow the death of children because you have a sexual craving is sickness. Amen. Your sexual craving to destroy a life is not worth it. And in your book, they all were written. When every man stands at the great white throne of God, the final judgment for eternity,
He will go to his book of life and see that if you had removed your name from his book. He doesn't remove your name from that book. You remove your name from that book. And the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them, in other words, before he had a form, how precious also, now notice this, how precious also are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I wake, I am still with you. Wow. People, we are blessed. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. And now here's where David says that his hatred has validness because of the rejection of his heavenly Father. That's what you call a perfect hatred. When men allow sin to reject God and the love of God. Your enemies take your name in vain. I do not hate them, O Lord, who hate you. And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? In other words, he hates rebellion towards God in men. I hate them with a perfect hatred. In other words, I'm mature in my standing with you and why I'm against them. I have knowledge of why I am. I count them my enemies. Now here is where it gets real good. Oh Lord, and not that I have known you, but that you've known me. Now, he started this psalm off with, you have searched me and known me. And he tells you the secret, how the Lord searched him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Why would he say that at the very end of this? Because he was establishing something before he got to these two verses. He was establishing what you were capable of doing in spite of what he was capable of doing. It meant he was committed to you. He is thoroughly committed to you. He is going to be your guide. He's going to be your light. He's going to be your direction. But what are you going to do? You're going to lay down. You're going to sit down. You're going to try to escape. You're going to try to fly away. You're going to try to do everything you can to tick him off. Almost said the wrong word. But you got the idea. And then he goes down and says, I got news for you. How you can still be a champion with him no matter what you've done. How you can still be a champion to him no matter what you've done is open up your heart. Amen. Say, search me. Yep. Let me know my ways. Show them to me. You know how hard that is? Cinch. You're already deceived. Boy, God has told me some things about myself. Anybody else up there I can communicate with? God knows how to work with you if you're open and willing to let him. But you know, a lot of us aren't. You know, a lot of us, we want to serve God providing there's good apples on that tree. We want to serve him providing it's convenient. Thank God he is not committed to us on that same equation. He's with us no matter what kind of fix we get into. I got news for you. Now this don't give you a license to do it. But he'll go to the grave with you in sin. He'll go to the grave with you. Why? To get you to get out of that. Why? Because he wants you to not be worth it all when you get there. I mean, can you imagine going there and say, wow, this is really worth it all. Yeah, but you weren't worth anything there. God wants us to be worth something while we're here. Why? Here is where the dying and the lost are. Here's where people need our witness, our testimony. Here's where we need righteousness to work. This is where we need to learn to live in peace. Some people I fellowship with, believers, they get into this conspiracy theory stuff and everything. And all that tells me is where they put their mind. I put my mind in the Word of God. And then when conspiracy theories come along, at least I'm not shook up. I can stay in peace. Because they're just looking at everything from a kingdom that can be shaken. I'm coming from the viewpoint, I serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken nor removed. Hallelujah. I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. So I can be at peace. Do you realize what they're trying to do? No, but I know what God's trying to do. He's trying to change my heart. He's trying to do things in me that I need. Yeah, but you have no idea what the devil can do to take them from you. I don't care. If the devil takes anything from me, I got news for him. He's got to give back sevenfold from anything that he takes from me. Do you hear that, Mr. Negatory? Listen, we're serving a kingdom that cannot be overcome by the powers of darkness, the gates of hell. Praise God. Hike my pants up. I was trying to explain to a brother about the renewing of the mind, how you had two minds, and he was really depressed. He was having a hard time with the one mind thought. I had compassion on him. He says, well, what do you think renewing in the mind is? And I says, well, renewal means that you're replacing a new discipline against your natural mind. Yeah. I don't need to do that. Well, of course not, because you love running around with it. You know, your central mind, like that bumper sticker we once read, you got to get control of your mind. It's too little to be running around on its own. I looked at the guy in the car that had that bumper sticker. He had this spiked hair, and there were all different colors running down the center of his head and the side bald. And I said, I'm trying to get it in the middle. And he removes it from the side. I'm keeping my side hair, and he goes and removes it. Boy, the way we think. And I got to thinking, he left his mind somewhere. Well, would you explain that a little further? And I said, well, you're not putting a change in your natural mind's way of thinking. You're just adding a new discipline to the way you naturally think. Oh, thanks. Well, Hebrews 10:39 says that we are to be saved to the possession of our soul. You know, if we want our faith to grow and we want to be a success in life, I got news for you, people. You've got to grow in your position of salvation. Your strength, what God wants you to. And that starts with your mind. You've got to start changing the way you think in your mind. And that's not easy. Especially when you're so used to running around with it. To be honest with you, there was a point in my life that I began to realize what no meant. Believe it or not, no meant. No meant to the things to pull you out of the pattern of God. And if I'd have known that when I first got saved, I probably wouldn't have gotten saved. Because I was more in my natural way of thinking than I was my spiritual way of thinking. You know what my spiritual way of thinking was before I got born again? Zip. Zip. My spiritual mind was in the same soul that my natural mind is in. And until I got that revelation that your soul just houses both minds, then I began to understand dying, thou shalt die. Muth, muth means two deaths. You'll not only die through the mind, but you'll also be removed spiritually from God. Those two deaths. So it's important not to concentrate so much on the mistakes you make, but it's important to concentrate on what God declares you to be in Him as a dear father. And when you get that revelation, it will be easier for you to walk the straight and narrow like you're supposed to. I'm not saying it's not easy, because the Bible talks about suffering in the flesh. But we don't want to do that. Nowadays, we got a gospel that knows how to put the tuxedo on, regardless that there's no inward change. And you have to have an inward change to fit the tuxedo. If you don't change the inward street man, you can put a tuxedo on him, he'll go lay in the street in a tuxedo. Sure. You got to change the way you think. You got to change on the inside the way you think. And the best way you have to start thinking about change is how much God loves you. And that's what the point David was trying to bring out. How much God is committed to you. How much He loves you. How much He has a plan for your life. And you are so capable of screwing it up. He has a way of seeing. It's all right. Yeah. You get your minds renewed to the right screwing. God, you don't think God doesn't know what you're capable of doing in the natural? Oh my gosh. Yes, He knows what we're capable of doing in the natural. But when you read Psalms 139, He tells you, David says what he was capable of doing. But he also said, but God's on your tail. He's right there with you. Isn't that good news? Next time when you get into a depression and mully grub fit and feel down and God doesn't love you and everything, you pull out Psalms 139 and start reading it for what it means. Matter of fact, Keith Trump is going to be with us next April. He's a Hebrew scholar, and he was sharing with me how our translators, oh my gosh, I was so thrilled at what he was sharing with me about things that I'm going to have him help me with Psalms 139. I want to know everything about that psalm. Because I want to know what God thinks of me. I know what I think of me. I want to know what God thinks of me. Hallelujah. I got news for you. What you think about you is not equivalent to what God thinks about you. Or else you can say you know the love of God to its nth degree. And I got news for you. None of us really understand the love of God until you have to live it. You'll know the love of God when you can turn to your most vicious enemy and say, I do love you. I do love you. I don't love the things you do. But I love you as what God values you, a soul that's precious, an eternal soul. I just got news of somebody losing their dad, and in their diary, they put there, and whatever you do, don't preach Jesus to me. He died. And that was found in his journal. Can you imagine stepping into eternity after having not even want to hear about Jesus? People, that's horrible. That's the worst nightmare. You talk about people taking their life because they're depressed. They go from being depressed to depressionary. You go to a place where it's torment. It's one thing to be depressed, but another place to be tormented? No, thank you. God's ways are the best way to go, I'll tell you. I just heard on TV, on the radio one day about opioid and heroin addiction and things. And I couldn't remember on the radio, I didn't pick it up. They said that last year alone, there was 71,000 deaths. And I couldn't remember if it was in the state of Washington or in the United States, but I think it was the United States. 71,000 people going into eternity. And we don't know whether they're saved or not. People, that's horrible. That's committing suicide. Tell me the church is not an important commodity. It's very important. Hallelujah.
Well, they don't believe like we do. I don't care. They're a church.
If they're preaching Jesus as a way, a means of escaping, then that's good news. Hallelujah. We don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you all learned something today. Let God show Himself to you. Let Him show His commitment to you. Let Him show your path. It's so important. So important. And when you're down and depressed, reach up and grab His hand. He can lead you out of it. You just have to be determined to succeed. You know what? God, and all that He could tell you, and all that I could preach, or all that the leaderships can tell you, the only one that can make the decision to do it is you. You know, I can't make you will to do the right thing. It's an impossibility. You know, you listen to the world and you can tell right away what they're trying to do to con you. They'll do their best to convince how great they are for your sake. That's the first sign these people don't know what they're talking about. These are people that are talkers but not doers. You'll find that, especially in the world. So he said, what do you think about alcoholics? And I said, alcoholics are dreamers, but they're not doers. Just like heroin addicts, they're dreamers, but they're not doers. And I'm beginning to wonder, I don't think people that are addicted to heroin, I don't think they even have any dreams anymore. They just want to serve their addiction. Life has got more value than that. I don't care how many mass shootings going on. That doesn't mean life has stopped. I know my responsibility. I have to do the things that are right. But I know that God promises me that if I do the things that are right, then I can still enjoy full life. You know, God wants you to, He wants you to have the desires of your heart. But how He answers the desires of your heart is for Him to put His desires in your heart. And they'll complement your natural desires. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people. I thank You for how much You love them. And Father, may my message ring true to their hearts today. That it's such a wonderful thing that You know them by name. Father, You are so great, You even know how to name the stars. And we're going to know the names of those stars and the reason for the names. That is how big and vast You are. Father, I don't want to die in my natural mind's limited sinking in hell when I have a right to have the fullness of my mind illuminated by your glory. For I will spend eternity discovering you. And I'm so excited about it. And Father, may we all get a revelation of a driving force within us to save as many as we can before we go to glory. Cause your people here, the sound of my voice, cause them to build a desire in their heart to be a good witness, to preach the gospel of peace to a dying, disturbed, and irritated world that is the only hope they have is the right vote. And Father, that's nothing compared to what eternity is about. We all love you, Father. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've been battling your self-esteem and self-image, we want to pray for you. We want you to leave this facility today feeling good about the God that's over your life. We want you to know how He loves you and wants to do great things for you. You can't exercise your faith by the size of your problem. You have to exercise your faith by the size of your God. And He is great. When you see it from that viewpoint, your problem becomes very small. So if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never been said the sinner's prayer, we would love for you to do that. It is so important. Hallelujah. Salvation is the greatest gift that anyone can give you on this planet. And it's free. But yet it's priceless. So if you've never said the sinner's prayer and you'd like us to pray for you, we would love to. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need all of Him. You need all of Him. Amen. You need to grow in Him spiritually. And it comes through that tongue. And if you're here this morning and you've had struggling with your own self-esteem, your self-worth, we can pray for you that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you and speak to you and help you through those times that you need to be talked to. Hallelujah. We know it's a process. We just can't pray depression off of people, but we can pray the Holy Spirit will just strengthen you and come alive in you. Hallelujah. So with those three things, feel free to come forward. Anybody, just feel free to do it. This is worth more than anything else, is for you to understand how much God loves you. You can't come here in yourself. You have to come here on the basis of what God wants you to do. Yes. 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 Anyone else, feel free to come up here. Praise God. And will you promise me something? Go home and read Psalms 139. You can relate to that. Isn't that good news that that God can know everything about you, but yet He's committed to you in spite of us? Talk about the love and grace of God. Anyone else that needs to come up? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is an important time. People, this is an important time. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people going through a lot. Your loved ones are going through a lot. And if you get free, they can get free. And amen. And people, I want you to stay right here and pray with us. You're just as much a part of this as me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when you don't come forward, that means that you've already arrived, so you have a right to pray for these that are here. Hallelujah. Well, I shouldn't have said that. Even if you're in your seat and you didn't come forward, and you'd still like prayer, then pray for these right where you're at. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't know how many times I came forward. Hallelujah. I just had the wrong message. Now I can come forward. It's the right message in my heart. Amen, Susie. Amen. Amen. God loves us so much. We get so fed up with ourselves, but you know what? He sticks in there. That's the whole Psalm 139. God knows your mess ups, but I'm with you. I'm committed with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, He's got great plans for us in the natural. He does. He has great plans for us. We just have a hard time finding out what they are. You know some. You know what great plans that you might have in vocation? You'd be surprised. Maybe He's hooked up with you in that area. Just include Him in on what you're desiring to do. And that gives Him a better place to lead you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray Psalms 139 on you guys. And you're going to go home and you're going to read that psalm until you get it. Till you say, I see what God thinks of me. Two little girls. Okay, let's start praying. Father, when I go by and lay hands on these precious ones, Father, they're kings and priests unto You. Father, You are committed to them and You love them so much. Father, in spite of our mistakes, in spite of what we think about us, Father, I am convinced Psalms 139 through David lets us know how God is so committed to us in spite of us. And I thank You, Heavenly Father, that You not only know me by name, but You know my heart. And so, Father, may You reveal my heart to me so that I can walk in the way of everlasting life. And so, Father, I pray that that psalm on everyone I lay my hands on this morning. Hallelujah. Well, did you guys get something while you were here? Say, yes, I did. Psalms 139. I'm going to learn it. Till I learn what He thinks about me. Aren't you glad we're not perfect? And He is. Now He can make us perfect. Right? You got to be careful that you don't let people sway you about what God says about you. You got to keep your eyes focused. You can't pick up a religious spirit. A religious spirit says you've got to work to be holy. God says you got to change the way you think in order to find holiness. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these wonderful people who have came today and has been a part of this service. May they all feel blessed. Hallelujah.